Thank you, Carrie. This impromptu on 98.7 WFMT is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And today we welcome pianist Andrew Van Ooyen to our studio. He has established himself as one of the leading pianists and musicians of his generation since his debut at the age 16 with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He plays a broad spectrum of concerto repertory with orchestras across Europe and America as both a soloist and a conductor. And he's also performed at the U.S. Capitol with the National Symphony in a Capitol 4th on July 4th. But he's in the Chicago area this week to perform with the Grant Park Music Festival. In fact, their opening concert, which is coming up on Wednesday, joined by fellow pianist Fabio Bedini and the two piano concerto by Poulenc. But Andrew Van Ooyen is here this afternoon for a live solo recital. Welcome to WFMT.
Thank you.
What are you going to play for us this afternoon? What have you lined up?
I have several pieces that all have a bit to do with France, where I live. I live actually with one foot in France, the other foot in the United States. I have the Chopin Barcarolle, and I have Ravel's Le Tombeau de Couperin, and a little dessert piece after all of that.
Okay. You're going to start off with the Barcarolle, one of the last pieces by Chopin, but this is a work, it's a type of piece that goes back to the Venetian gondoliers and sort of this gently rocking rhythm. Tell us about that and the Barcarolle as a form.
Yeah, you could certainly say that the waters change throughout the piece. It can be very calm and very, very sort of fluid, as you would picture sort of a Venetian gondola. But there's a little bit of storm and turbulent waters, not storm, but turbulent waters at one point. This is one of my all-time favorite pieces of Chopin. It's in sort of 8 minutes, it sort of encapsulates all of what Chopin's about. Beautiful melody, incredible harmonic development, and just beautifully, of course, written for the piano. And so this is, yes, it's one of his last pieces and, in my opinion, one of his best.
Let's hear it. Here is Andrew Van Ooyen in the Barcarolle, Opus 60 by Chopin.
Thank you.
The Barcarolle, Opus 60 of Frédéric Chopin, is played for us this afternoon by Andrew Van Ooyen, who will be one of the soloists this Wednesday in the opening concert of the Grant Park Festival that starts at 6:30 at the Pritzker Pavilion in Millennium Park. Andrew Van Ooyen, was just announced that you will start a new series of recordings for Warner Classics, and you have one coming up that will be released in January. You've already recorded it. But it's one that explores those connections that you have. You said you spend your time split between Los Angeles and France, and you think back of those connections over the years between the two countries. Musically, of artists like yourself going over to play in France, but of course how American music influenced French music. What's your theory on those on that connection of how we've these two countries have been so connected over the years?
They really have been connected, particularly very closely, I think, the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century. I would go so far as to say that there was no American composer more influenced by Ravel than George Gershwin, mm-hmm. and no French composer more influenced by the music of Gershwin than Ravel. And these two composers are featured on the album, along with Saint-Saëns, who knew Ravel, who's quite a bit older. but, you know, on this recording, we have, you know, we have a 19th century composer, Saint-Saëns, and we have two 20th century composers, and Ravel is really the unifying thread between the two. Interestingly, you know, we think of Ravel being the most French of French composers, and in many ways he was, although he had a Swiss father and a Basque mother, but right. but in terms of his style, his musical aesthetics and everything, he was very French. But if being French meant being anti-American, he certainly was not, mm-hmm. because no music outside of the European continent influenced him more than American jazz. Saint-Saëns also, of course, did not spend a great amount of time in the United States and was not really influenced by American music, but he did make several tours. He provided very favorable accounts of working in the U.S. And what one of the most interesting things I came to learn is that Saint-Saëns wrote one of his operas, not Samson, but an earlier opera, as did Massenet, wrote Thaïs, for an American soprano from California by the name of Sybil Sanderson. She premiered the role of Thaïs. I think it's a very interesting thing that these composers, Massenet and Saint-Saëns and a few others, were writing for this leading American soprano in Paris at the time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the anti-American French attitude was not necessarily there for Saint-Saëns nor Ravel.
Oh, especially musically. And then the third piece on the album is the rarely heard Second Rhapsody of Gershwin, just a piece that I love, and I'm so glad that
I'm glad you know it, because a lot of people don't know it.
Well, the next music that you're going to play for us today is, in fact, by Ravel, and it's the full suite, Le Tombeau de Couperin, and this shows his love of music of the French Baroque, obviously, and the full six movements. Now, probably the orchestral suite is a little more familiar, and he only used four of the movements. So tell us a little bit about this work and its history and how it came about.
Well, the piece was written during one of the darkest times of Ravel's life. It was written during World War I. Ravel volunteered for the service during World War I as a truck driver, and he drove along the fields of the dead in France, which we know were very bloody war fields. And so he witnessed some really horrible things, horrible carnage. And yet he managed to work on this piece during the war years. It is not at all a dark piece. It's a very bright piece, with almost in the first movement, several of the movements have a sort of almost pastoral quality to them. And you know, you really wonder how someone could write a piece this peaceful in moments during such an unpeaceful time. It is a piece that was first, of course, written for piano and then was later orchestrated. It's always an interesting discussion with Ravel when you look at the pieces he wrote for piano first and then orchestrated to compare and contrast them. And he was such an incredible orchestrator. It's hard really not to like anything he orchestrated. However, there are certain pieces he wrote that I think work even better on the piano than in the orchestra. Le Tombeau de Couperin is not one of them. Actually, I think it works equally well on piano as it does in orchestra. The biggest difference is that the piano version has two movements. The orchestra suite does not. Mm-hmm. It has the fugue and it has the famous toccata. I don't know how he would have orchestrated the toccata. Perhaps that's why he didn't. It really encapsulates, as I said about the Barcarolle of Chopin, it really sort of encapsulates all the best qualities of Ravel.
All right, here is the suite, the six-movement suite, Le Tombeau de Couperin by Ravel. And once again, the pianist is Andrew Van Ooyen.
Thank you.
The sixth movement suite, Le Tombeau de Couperin by Maurice Ravel, is played for us live today by pianist Andrew Van Ooyen, who will be the guest Wednesday evening in the opening night concert of the Grand Park Music Festival. You've got a big smile on your face.
Yeah. The piece is a workout. It's really a workout. You know, oboists say it's a workout for them, which I believe, but they don't have to play that last movement, that last toccata.
Well, I can see what you mean. That's so utterly pianistic. It would have been.
And I don't know how he would have orchestrated it. Yeah. That's perhaps why there's not a version for orchestra of that movement.
Fascinating to watch, too, with the hands crossing and laying over each other. You've got one more piece for us, one of your own arrangements in just a moment. But I also wanted to mention that not only do you work as a pianist, but you've also been conducting lately as part of your career. Is that right?
Let's say I've gotten my feet wet in conducting. And only from the keyboard, without the keyboard.
I see.
And that is for Mozart Concerti, Haydn Concerti, Beethoven Concerti, and I'll be doing some more of that next season and in future seasons. It's something I enjoy very much.
Do you also enjoy arranging the next piece that you're playing?
I have done a few transcriptions, if you will, arrangements, transcriptions, and the next piece is the Méditation from Thaïs, which I spoke about earlier, how, you know, Thaïs was the opera written by Massenet. Actually, the original role was written for an American soprano from California in the late 1800s. So I did actually an arrangement for solo piano, and of course we pretty much exclusively associate this piece with the solo violin, but I decided to make my own version. It is, in fact, going to be included as a bonus track on the new album coming out with Warner Classics.
Okay, wonderful. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
The Meditation from the opera Thais by Jules Massenet, transcribed for piano by our guest today, Andrew Van Ooyen, who will be the soloist this Wednesday evening at the Grand Park Music Festival. One of two soloists, actually, in the Concerto for Two Pianos by Poulenc, along with Fabio Bedini, the Grand Park Orchestra, directed by Carlos Kalmar. What a beautiful arrangement. Thank you for bringing that. And I look forward to the new album. When is that coming out?
It's coming out in January, okay. January 2017.
And that is with music of Saint-Saëns and Ravel and Gershwin and this beautiful arrangement of the Meditation. Thank you again for visiting.
Thank you so much.
Our guest today, Andrew Van Ooyen, and this impromptu on WFMT is supported in part by a grant from Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. If you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station. It's quick and easy, and you can become a sustaining member by pledging online at WFMT.com. Thanks to our engineer, Mary Mazurik, today, and the producer for Impromptu is Louise Frank, and I'm Lisa Flynn. And now let's go back to the studio and Carrie Frumkin.